Namaste, namaskar, and good morning, people in the US, and good evening for the people in India. Today we have a very, very important episode, essentially, and we have two very good guests on our panel today, and it's going to be a two-topic program today, so it's going to be roughly about an hour. Hopefully in the first 30 minutes, we will cover an Indian-American as a US president. Is that what is the possibility? And the second topic would be about the Israel-Hamas clash. Who we have today on our panel today is Dr. Subramaniam Swamy. We have Dr. Siddharth Gaur. Siddharth Gaur is a very successful businessman based out of Dallas. He is a Guinness Book holder for building furnaces based out of the. He runs a company called Carbonix, a multi-million dollar company. And he has received many honors. And he is a very well-read person, extremely knowledgeable on multiple subjects across the globe. He has established businesses across the globe, negotiated big contracts with multiple organizations and governments. We are very happy to have you, Dr. Siddharth Gaur. Welcome to Words of Wisdom, Gyan Ganga. We have Sri Iyer, who needs no introduction. Maybe he needs to introduce us, the way his channel is growing. At some point in time, he will start introducing us. And we have Dr. Arvind Chaturvedi. So with this, Dr. Swamy, we'll just jump right into it. And as people know that Vivek Ramaswamy has been really improving in polls, so it's up to you to start the program. And then we can take the second subject as a segue from the first topic, Dr. Swamy.
Yeah. I would deal with both topics in my introduction.
Yes, or sir. Just, yes, sir. Just give a brief introduction on both the topics, and then we will start with the U.S. president, then jump into Israel.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Ramesh, and welcome to our guest, Siddharth Gaur, whose residence I stayed in Dallas, I must say. A man of great taste, besides, of course, he's also made a lot of money, but money is not
sorry, folks, we might have some interruptions today. Oh, sorry, the Dr. Swamy
is got that taste. Now, the question about the Indian becoming a U.S. president. It's now, compared to what it was when I was in the United States for the whole of the 60s. And of course, in between after that, I came periodically to the United States. The situation has undergone such change that I find Indians in such different positions. If you look at these companies which have done extremely well, you find Indians, the chairman or the chief of it. You have find an Indian now being nominated by the United States to be the chairman of the World Bank. And there are people who are in the Congress. There are people who have been governors. They may not be necessarily fully Indian in the sense they may have one parent from America, but they are seen as Indians. Our vice president of the United States is half a Tamil. So there's been a lot of progress. And the more important thing I find in the United States is that there's no hostility to Indians. There are hostility to other communities of different kinds for different reasons. But broadly speaking, people say that the Indians are law-abiding people, they have contributed to our society, and so on. So it's becoming, there's no real resistance to the to an Indian being tomorrow running as the president in the final campaign. Already one can see in the case of come this far, but he's come much further. Of course, he's still got a lot of ways to go, but there are new people who are now throwing their hat in the ring. There are Indians who are coming out. And so I would say that if you can be president of the United States, even if you are only half a Tamil or or Hafez Sardar, as in the case of that person in the southern state of the United States as governor. I think what we can say is that Indians can, in the long run, merge with the Caucasians of the United States, the white people. The climate itself will make a big difference. So more and more it will look as if the Indians are looking more like an American. If they're brought up there, they speak like Americans, and they are, as far as brains is concerned, they're, you know, it's widely acknowledged. So I would say briefly this, that and the Indians have a very low, relative to other communities, very low crime rate. And that's another thing that I've seen it being commented all through. And of course, the Indians learn English very easily, and they come from India having full knowledge of English, fluent English. As good students and write good essays in English. So there are lots and lots of advantages. And of course, the Indians at the moment in the United States are not people who wish to enter politics, take the risk of coming to politics. There are very few, but there are increasing numbers, growing numbers. So I do expect that if not this decade, but certainly from the next decade, you'll start seeing Indians becoming president of the United States and accepted. So this is my first point in terms of this matter of whether Indians, you can expect an Indian U.S. president. And imagine there's already a prime minister who's an Indian in the world. And there's also Indian in Mauritius, there's Indian in Trinidad, there's Indian in Fiji. All over the world, they are there. But, you know, to be in the United States and, you know, and United Kingdom and so on, Indian heading, that is a tougher task, but that's also happening. So I think all in all, I would conclude saying that, yes, it is only a matter of time before an Indian becomes the United States president. I don't think there's necessarily he'll be pro-Indian. There's no need. His first priority has to be the United States interests. And if they can merge with the Indian interests, of course, then there's nothing could be better. But the fact of the matter is, merely because an Indian becomes the United States president, one should not assume that the United States would become pro-Indian. So let us not overdo this from our Indian point of view of, you know, making out as if, you know, Indian becoming prime minister is something that will make the United States more akin to India or more close to India. So this is one part. The second part, which is now suddenly posed upon us, is the Hamas attack on Israel. That's not new, the Hamas attack, but this was a comprehensively orchestrated one where the Israelis could not foresee this happen. They couldn't block it. I think the Israelis had a bubble, and that bubble also doesn't seem to have worked to cover the vast areas of Israel. And it has shattered the Israeli thinkers. Of course, the Israelis are great ones at standing up and again, you know, rectifying it. They have done it in the past. They have come under very tough conditions when the United Nations had passed a resolution saying that the portion which was which is now called Israel, that will be handed over to the Israeli community, to the Jewish community. And that's how Israel was created. Israel was not created by them coming as invaders, like in some other countries that has happened. They came in after petitioning the United Nations and the world leaders And after the horrible experience they had in Nazi Germany, the whole world had a huge sympathy for these Israelis. And it became clear that they needed a country of their own. And so the original country of Israel was given to them. There were Palestinians there, but the Palestinians are not natural to the area which is Israel. They came also from northern parts and they went to many other countries. For instance, a majority of the population in Jordan is Palestinian. People don't understand that Jordan is a Palestinian country in terms of majority. And whether they have power or not, whether there's an oligarchy there, those are other matters. But in terms of population strength, the Palestinians are majority in Jordan. So the Israelis didn't come by sneak or by using weapons and so on. They came because the United Nations passed a resolution. And it was a near unanimous vote for the Israelis. And therefore, we must always keep this in mind that whoever is trying to uproot the Israelis, they are actually people who are invaders, who are people who are given to violence. And we should always sympathize with Israel. I'm happy to see that in India, almost, it's a huge majority that supports Israel. Our own personal experience with the Jews also has been terrific. Many Jews came to India and settled down here during their times of persecution. And they blended with our society. The Hindu community built a synagogue for them. You can go to Kerala. You can find it there in Bombay and so on. Then they merged into our society by joining the army and so on. The person who liberated Bangladesh by sheer courage was General Jacobs, who was an Israeli. And he did it because even after, there was an attempt to prevent us from going for the final strike, and that is to take over Dhaka. And the orders were sent to General Jacob that he should not cross into Dhaka. But he felt that that would mean the entire fighting that had been done till then, and all the people who died would have died in vain. And so he disregarded it, and he went ahead. He led his force he led it personally, and he took over Dhaka. Of course, he was subject to court martial afterwards, but then he had a very good excuse. He said that Malik Shah's instructions not to take over Dhaka couldn't be delivered to him because there was no electricity in Dhaka, and therefore he could not obey his thing. And that's how he came out of it. Later on, the BJP made him a governor, and then of course he got lots of medals and so on. He was a decorated person in that. So we have Israelis, and if you go to Bombay, you will see a lot of Jewish influence in our thing. And the Swami Dayanand Saraswati once had called a meeting of their senior most rabbi in Israel to India, and I was also invited to that conference. And we finally came to a conclusion that we have Ishwar, which is one, only one. And because the Israelis were of the view that religiously you have so many gods and so on and so forth, whereas we have only one God. And so there's a difference. But Swami Dayanand Saraswati skillfully pointed out, yes, we do. But they're all parts of the same thing, and we have a concept of Ishwar, and that is the one. They were convinced. And since then, the Israelis and the Jews of Israel and Indian Hindus, they meet once in a year, and they exchange views and so on. So there's a certain degree of attachment. The other degree of attachment is right from 1948, after the Israelis formed their own government. The Israelis in some way or the other have been helping us in our war effort, whether it was the 1948 Kashmir War, whether it was subsequent later on when the Chinese attacked us in 1962, or the Pakistanis in 65 and 71. The Israelis provided us spares. Israelis, helped us repair our tanks and so on. So many other things quietly. And no credit was given to them because at that time we didn't recognize Israel, and our government, the then government, didn't want to annoy the Arab world. So it didn't make it public. But that's also part of the history. Now, before I hand over, let me say one thing. The Israelis are not people who have come there and, they were barbarians or so on. They are scientists. They invented so many things which for Arabs it has been a great boon in, say, in Saudi Arabia, in Dubai, and so many other places. The Israelis, desalination of seawater has been a great boon to the Arab countries. And in fact, we have also now began to think in terms of, instead of allowing Karnataka and Tamil Nadu to fight about water, we think that desalination is the best way to do it. So their science and irrigation, our Sharad Pawar has massively used the Israeli drip procedures to get huge crops in his land. So the Israeli science, technology, and so on, these are another factors. So first is the military thing I said, where they quietly have given it to us. They've even sold us equipment by which you can tap telephones without anybody even recognizing that is going on. But we paid for it, so we can't blame the Israelis. They did it as a commercial thing. So they of course, cows, the amount of milk one cow produces compared to an Indian cow, if we follow the Israeli principle, I'm telling you, India will be swimming in milk. This is another part that needs. Now, finally, I think we are heading, I'll close with this. We are heading to a situation where Harvard professor Huntington wrote a book called Clash of Civilization, where he said that increasingly you will find that the world is moving towards a situation where the Jewish community, the Hindus, and the Christians may have to come together to deal with terror-minded Islamic forces. He didn't name any country, or he didn't name any particular sect and so on. But he said that, and it was in the 90s that the book came out. It was a bestseller, but he was vastly abused. I would say that it would be good for all of us to get a chance to go in from the bookstore and get Huntington's book, The Clash of Civilization, and see the trend. So we need to further strengthen our relationship with Israel and stand with them solidly. If they want our manpower also for battle purposes, we should be ready to give to them, like they gave their capital resources for us in our fight against Pakistan and China. So I think the closer and closer relations we have with Israel is very good. It's natural, and both of us have a propensity for research, education, and so on. And therefore, all put together, I think in this hour, we must stand with Israel, because a perfidy has taken place, a dastardly act has taken place. And the Israelis there's no reason whatsoever for any Arabs, for groups, to ask the Israelis to describe them as imposters or people who have grabbed their land, because it was a United Nations decision and they are legally there, and we should ensure that as far as Israel and its ability to stay in Israel should be supported by all countries of the world, and India in particular. Thank you very much, and over to you, Ramesh.
You are muted. You are muted, Ramesh.
He's lost his microphone. Point your finger at who should take over.
No.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Dr. Swami will have our new guest, Dr. Siddharth Gaur, to say a few words on this, and then we'll have Sri Iyer chime in. Sri Iyer has got a heart stop in another 30 minutes, Sri.
Yeah.
So, Dr. Gaur, please go ahead and give your thoughts on what Dr. Swami said, and basically your thoughts on this, on these two issues.
I'll just be very brief. Thank you, everyone, for inviting me and being part of this August discussion and panel. The point, let's go straight to the can Indian American be a US president in a foreseeable future? I believe that's a very high possibility. We cannot put a date on it. And the reasons for that is to be a leader of any country, there are three aspects in a broad way which needs to be addressed. One, classified, and many people will handle that in different ways, but I look at it, a leadership position, as a suitability of a candidate, the electability of the candidate, and acceptability of the candidate. If those three things are somehow being addressed, then sooner or later it becomes inevitable for the fact to happen. In this particular case, if you go for the suitability of an Indian origin American to be suitable for the high office, in my opinion, the reasons, few points are, the Indians who are raised over here, our kids, the next generation, being coming from India, we have instilled in them democratic values compared to many other ethnicity. We have instilled them very high level of family ties, which is very strong in any American election. Any president who goes up has to tell how strong family ties are there. There is a level of entrepreneurship, which they like in their leadership. And we are proponents of, the candidates are proponent of level playing field. There's no entitlement requirements. Other ethnicities have required or used the crutches of entitlements. Indians, as Dr. Swami said, have never done that, have been standing on their own two feet because of their own talent. And that is very respected in this society, which is land of opportunity. Along with that, one of the issues which comes in suitability-wise is that when you bring a different culture, are you going to be imposing that culture or your beliefs, or will that be your personal faith or personal belief? The question was raised by Kennedy when he was elected, that if you become president, you being Catholic, will US be now guided by Pope or Vatican? And Kennedy said bluntly, faith is my personal issue. That will not interfere with my decisions and my outlook towards the presidency. Same thing when, and we will touch that later on, when Henry Kissinger was asked by Golda Meir that will you support during Yom Kippur aggression, Kissinger said, I'm first a state secretary of state, second an American, and third a Jew. Basically saying that Indians do not have any hidden agenda when they come to that regarding their faith or their nationality if they are to be chosen to be the head of the state. I think those few of them, there are many we can go through because of limitation, time limitation, I think that can be classified as a suitability of an Indian origin person to be suitable for high office. If you go to the electability, if you look at the demographic distribution of every ethnicity, there's a large distribution of them either identifying with one party being a Republican or the other party being a Democrat. However, you will find Indian American origin people to be evenly distributed on both sides of the aisle. You will find people who have strong beliefs on the Democratic side, and you will find people who have strong beliefs on Republican side, which means that we can have candidate from either party. It doesn't matter which party we are coming from, which basically means an Indian origin has a chance from both sides of the aisle to be at the high office. And if you go through that process, US elections are run by electoral college. I do not know how many people are familiar with that in India, but it's basically run by 6 swing states, Ohio, Michigan, and a few others. I don't want to go into detail, but if you are a nominee, 40% of your votes have been taken by just because you're a nominee. The Democrats will vote around the party lines. Republicans will vote along the party lines. The presidency is clinched by if you can reach across the aisle. And Indians are seen as a bridge builder. Like Indians can easily, from Democratic side, can easily appeal to what you call Reagan Democrats. And if a candidate is from a Democratic side, he can easily reach as a bridge builder to the Clinton Republicans. And that aspect of being able to bridge builder will bring them to reach that finish line compared to any other ethnic population which is here in US, instilled in democratic values. Then comes the question of, these are electability issues. If you're going to a politics, you have to find, yes, you have your viewpoints, but are you electable? And I think those qualities put Indian origin American in a very peculiar or unique advantageous position because of that behavior of the immigration diaspora over here. The third aspect is the acceptability. So if once you're elected to the office, are you acceptable to the population? So for that, going back to the first suitability criteria, because we do not have any hidden agenda, the mass population can believe us to be honest representative of their motherland. Like the Prime Minister of England, he being a Hindu openly, I don't think so, minus some few people, English people generally believe that he will represent the cause of England at the World Forum with full duties towards England. And that can be expected by an Indian origin person, because in our trade as a Hindu faith, we are like motherland. We serve our motherland. Whichever the motherland is, we adopt the people, the land which gives us the opportunity, we serve that. And therefore, we will not be considered as that if an Indian American becomes over here, that he will do things in favor of India more rather than US. And therefore, his acceptability in the US population is much higher. Second part of acceptability is that Indians, even though they are very, they will negotiate, they will come, they will reach over the aisle, but they are not pushovers. We are the land of Krishna, Gandhi, and Buddha. We hold things with value, but we are not pushovers. So we can represent our things firmly, but in a polite fashion. And that also is a very big quality of acceptability at the World Forum. India is considered as a bridge towards many. We can have a conversation with a foe at the dining table and still be able to put our points across. And lastly, in that view, America has been a land of futuristic opportunities. The Kennedy syndrome, like he gave us the thing of we will reach the moon. Indians being entrepreneur and part of high professional education do provide that futuristic growth to the American population and to the globe. And I think, broadly speaking, I don't want to go into too much detail, those reasons at least instill in me the confidence that an Indian origin American can, in a foreseeable future, be suitable, electable, and acceptable to a large American population in my humble opinion.
Thank you, Dr. Gaur. Sri, the floor is yours now, and then we can just move over to quick Q&A after that.
Namaskar, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share my thoughts about an Indian American becoming a US president, as well as the ongoing Israeli-Hamas conflict. VHS viewers, it's always a pleasure to an honor to be part of you. I've always considered myself as a family. In fact, I must say my namaste to Dr. Subramanian Swami. Recently, there was a small victory that we in California got. That was to get the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, to reject a caste discrimination-based bill called SB 403. It was based on lies, hate, and it was just flawed, let's put it this way. And it was, whatever they were trying to pass was directly aimed at a particular ethnicity, and it would not have been possible if it was not for some of us who believed in the principles laid out by Dr. Swami in Virat Hindustan Sangha. Remember, VHS is a non-political organization, and Pandit Satish Kumar Sharma and myself, sir, we did all these things because we knew what you taught us. And I have to say this thing because there is so much crap that gets thrown at you, and they don't understand the brilliance of how you think and approach issues. And this is where people need to pay attention. Dr. Swami has many dimensions. I'm sorry to go on a rant here on this one. He has many dimensions. It's which one you pick that you will benefit from. So let's get back to the topics here. Indian American US for a US president, there are lots of contenders. Dr. Gaur took a top-down approach. I'm going to take a bottom-up approach to try and talk about a few candidates who all look very promising. And some of you may agree with me on what I'm saying about them. Some of you may disagree with me. Please feel free to comment. First off, the first person who is the closest to the presidency is, of course, Kamala Harris. She is risen through the ranks very quickly, and now she is a vice president. It's possible that she could become the president even as early as tomorrow if something were to happen to President Biden. How she is going to be as an administrator, as a governor, has to be seen because she has not had any administrative experience. So I'm going to differ right now on how she will work as a president should she be elected. Next, the person that I see closest to this is Ro Khanna. Now, a lot of you are going to say, oh, wait a minute, this man didn't really support Hindus. Look, all that is, there are pluses and minuses for everyone. In my opinion, his sheer dint of work. Dr. Swami, he has piloted 8 bills thus far. I think he's in his third term as a US congressman. 8 bills. And there are some things that he has helped India also. Like, for example, getting a waiver on CATSA sanctions. What I'm trying to say is this man also has a lot of dimensions. You need to understand the full person before you pass judgment. Another one who's doing great job is Congressman Radhakrishnamurthy. All the three that we have talked so far are all Democrats. And he has been one of those people who works silently and gets a lot of things done. For example, latest thing is he has tried to unclog the waiting period for green card for many Indian Americans. It stands now at 15 or 20 years or something of that nature. He has been trying to see if the unused green card applications can be pooled and allow the Indian Americans to make use of that to bring down the lag date. I don't know when it's going to become law, but it's very close to becoming one. So these are people who have done something. They've achieved something, and all these things will be showcased when they run for president. Now, the next person, of course, is Vivek Ramaswamy. This is the person who is extremely, new, and he's got a lot of ideas. In fact, it is my opinion that he's actually framing the 2024 debate on many issues. And some of them are maybe controversial. Some of them may have merit in it. So we have to wait and see how he's going to get the people along. He does not have administrative experience. He has not even stood for Congress or any other office thus far. So he's right out of the left field. So we have to see how that person plays out. And there are many others who are also coming through the ranks. Nimrat Kaur Haley, Nikki Haley. And she is promising. She has already been a governor. She has also been the representative of the United States at the United Nations. She certainly brings in a lot of administrative experience. She knows how to work with the people from different countries. So that is another promising prospect. There is also newer leadership emerging through the ranks. Jennifer Rajkumar, Guyana-born Hindu, Guyanese-American. I'm losing the how to characterize her. Very promising. Sri Thanida, very promising. First time congressman from Michigan. I may be missing out a few names here, but basically the most important thing, and Dr. Gaur has very eloquently laid it out, the most important thing for somebody is how do you take the nation with you? You can be a Republican, but once you become president, you are the president, you are the leader of the entire United States nation, and how do you instill that confidence? And he mentioned one very important thing about how the US president is decided by a few states. I've written a book, it's called Who Painted My State Purple? Those of you who read it may understand what he's saying. This whole book is based on that premise, and it's a fictional book. Anyway, you guys can read it. You can buy it from Amazon, or you can buy it from my website. Now, let's take a look at the Israeli-Hamas conflict. How did the number, well, arguably the number one spy agency, Mossad, get it so horribly wrong? So horribly wrong. What exactly has happened? And we haven't really heard from anyone inside Israel as to how the heck did this happen? How many army camps were run over? People were sleeping, they were dragged from their beds. And they've been ruthlessly, you know, dismembered. That's the only way I can see it. I have seen some videos, Dr. Swami, that I am beyond shocked is the only thing I can say. Such brutality, you know, ripping away a wife from the husband's hands when both of them are out for a walk in the morning, and killing people, and then subjecting them to unspeakable cruelty in their private parts. It is just unbelievable the kind of hatred that Hamas has instilled in its foot soldiers. First of all, it is wrong to go and kill and take out civilians. Second of all, the amount of cruelties that they have done, and now they think that because they are holding hostages, that Israel is not going to do something that they expect it to do. For example, cutting off power and water. Israel has already warned that unless you want to die, you may want to get out of Gaza. And I don't see that still happening. There is some state of denial. Maybe the reports are still not up to date, but this is going to happen because Israel needs to separate the grain from the chaff. And I'm told the number two Hamas leader has already been taken out. Number one guy sitting in Qatar, and it's just a matter of time before something happens there too. I'm just predicting. Israel does not forget, it does not forgive. But all through this, what exactly has been the intelligence in Israel doing? That is the question that is uppermost in my mind. I'm sorry to say that I don't find any answers. Is it possible that an unknown new actor was behind this? Somebody that you don't suspect them. Is this the reason why what has happened? So this is where things stand. I'm sorry, I'm kind of running a little bit, but I just wanted to put my thoughts on the table and try to cover what Dr. Gaur had not covered. So hopefully this stops here, and I'm done with my part.
Dr. Swami, I'll just quickly jump in because one of the most important questions that's going around, even some of the Republicans have accused, that Biden had sent $6 billion to Iran, and even a couple of millions, I think, Sri, even a few days ago.
Yes.
And is that money being used? Is that what is getting a blow? Is Israel getting a blowback because of that, Sri? So you or Dr. Gaur can answer that. And Dr. Swami, please intervene, because that's one of the most important thing that are that is out there. You know, is this good?
Doctor, I think you must once remember before I come and explicitly answer your question. Iran is a Shia country, and these Hamas and all these people are hardline Shia. Sunni Muslims, and there's animosity between the two is such that I can't believe that Iran would be the factor which made the difference. I would think, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Russia and China. Because the fact that the Saudi Arabians were going to make up with Israel, UAE had already made up with Israel, and so on. So to break that somehow, this is done. And I agree with the analysis, particularly of Sri Ayyar, that the real thing is that the reason the Israelis were not able to detect this in advance is that they were looking at people who are not really the players. It was outsourced to another country, another group of people, and that's what the Israelis now have to think. And I think the United States also has to do it, because the United States can't go on financing A, B, C, D, thinking that that will bring them around. There are issues which affect them, in which they take different stance. But I would say that the work, kind of work that was done, I can't believe that the Iranians are capable of it.
Sri, your thoughts?
I think Dr. Swami hit the nail on the head, saying that a Shia would not come and help a Sunni. Very, very, very meritorious argument. My suspicion, and I had a guest come on P Guru's channel, and he drew parallels between how India was invaded on 26/11/2008 and how these people have come in to Israel this time. There are eerie parallels. So does that begs the question, is the hidden hand somebody who has financed somebody else to do this thing, and that somebody else happens to be our neighbor? I'm just going to leave it at that. The next thing is that $6 billion was like 2 months ago. This has been planned for years, my friend. Ramesh, this has been planned for years. They have precisely figured out which were the points where the security will be slack. They parachuted, they parasailed. They then had smaller vehicles cut through wire fences. For 48 hours, many of the security checkpoints were not functioning. For 48 hours, many of the southern checkpoints were not functioning. What was the Israeli government doing? These are all questions that are going to be asked of the Bibi Netanyahu government. So the last word is not to be not said yet. This is how I see it too.
Dr. Gaur, do you have any thoughts on this? I have a question for you about Vivek and other Indian American.
On Israel-Hamas conflict, first of all, it should be condemned with vociferous voice by one and all. As Dr. Swami said, Israel is a legitimate, has a legitimate position of their land and nation. It was given to them by United Nations, a international body with the overwhelming majority. They went there and they legally they're legally residents. Occupied is the wrong word. They are a legal residence of that place and the nation. And anything like this cannot be condoned anywhere in any forum, in my opinion. However, what has happened, the Sri Ayyar is saying it and all those things, but this has all the writings if you compare history. 1974, Yom Kippur, Israel was taken by surprise. And there were internal actors sometimes, like in that case, it was Mirwan, the Egyptian son-in-law of Nasser. But this has to have some place where intelligence was not looking at, be it other country, be it other actors. And that's where things have happened. But I think there will be this will have long repercussions. This is not going to settle in a few months or years. This is a 9/11 kind of a syndrome. We will have to live with this for a futuristic time.
Thank you. Arvind ji, aap kuch poochna chahte hain?
Poochne ke saath saath main janna chahta hu dono teenon visheshagyon se कि हम जब दो इश्यूज जिनकी बात कर रहे हैं, हमास और इजराइल लोग की बात कर रहे हैं, दूसरी तरफ हम भारतीय अमेरिकन की बात कर रहे हैं, इन दोनों परिस्थितियों में, इन दोनों मुद्दों के ऊपर हमें भारतीय जो पर्सपेक्टिव है, इंडियन पर्सपेक्टिव के हिसाब से देखा जाना चाहिए। ये तो हमें पता है कि जो भारतीय अमेरिकन है पिछले कम से कम 25-30 सालों से अमेरिका में अपना प्रभुत्व जमा रहे हैं, पूरा कारपोरेट जगत जो है उनके लगभग कब्जे में है। आप किसी भी बड़ी कंपनी की बात कर लो, गूगल से लेकर माइक्रोसॉफ्ट तक या पेप्सिको से लेकर IBM तक, सारे बड़े जो कारपोरेट जाइंट्स हैं उनका जो हेड है, उनका जो सबसे प्रमुख शीर्ष पे है वो भारतीय है। तो भारतीयों ने अपना सिक्का जमा लिया है। डॉक्टर गौड ने इस बारे में कहा था कि उनकी विश्वसनीयता बढ़ी है, ही सेड उनकी एक्सेप्टेबिलिटी बढ़ी है। ये बात सही है, पहली बात। दूसरी बात कि चाहे वो डेमोक्रेट्स हों चाहे वो रिपब्लिकन हों, हमने दोनों तरफ देखा है कि बराबर बराबर, अब उन्होंने कहा 50-50। बट मुझे एक सर्वे जो मैंने देखा था, कोविड के पहले जो सर्वे हुआ था, पिछले इलेक्शन के टाइम में सर्वे हुआ था, उसमें था कि 72% इंडियन अमेरिकन, भारतीय अमेरिकन के 70% से अधिक के लोग डेमोक्रेट्स के साथ थे और 20-22% लोग रिपब्लिकन के साथ थे। हालांकि भारत में हमारे मोदी जी ने जरूर डोनाल्ड ट्रंप के बारे में बहुत बड़ा विस्तार स्तर पे एक ट्रंप इज कमिंग बैक और व्हाटएवर मीट जो उन्होंने की थी उसका कोई फायदा नहीं हुआ, लेकिन ये जरूर है कि भारतीयों को, भारतीय अमेरिकन जो पॉलिटिशियंस हैं और कैरियर पॉलिटिशियंस खासतौर से, उनको एक प्रकार से बल मिला, सपोर्ट मिला। लेकिन हम अगर देखें कमला हैरिस जो हम वहाँ की उपराष्ट्रपति हैं इस समय वर्तमान में, और जो दूसरी तरफ जो हमारे विवेक रामास्वामी की बात हो रही है, और अब इस बार तो नहीं है, पिछली बार गवर्नर बॉबी जिंदल भी रेस में थे और दूसरे लोग जो भारतीय जो दोनों तरफ रहे हैं, उनका स्टैंड जब भारत से संबंध की बात आती है तो कहाँ है? कमला हैरिस ने कौन से मुद्दे पर भारत का समर्थन किया है? अगर हम चुनाव की बात करें, जो बाइडेन का जो चुनाव था उसके पहले की भी बात करें, तो हर मुद्दे पर, कश्मीर के मुद्दे को समेत, कमला हैरिस का स्टैंड भी भारत के खिलाफ ही रहा है। तो जब हम भारतीय अमेरिकन की बात करते हैं और फोर्सिएबल फ्यूचर की हम बात करते हैं कि हाँ भविष्य में ये संभव है कि कोई भारतीय अमरीकी अमरीका का राष्ट्रपति बन जाए, बहुत अच्छी बात है, हमें खुशी होगी क्योंकि हमारा संबंध, उनका संबंध भारत से किसी न किसी रूप में रहा है। लेकिन जब भारत के हितों की बात आती है, व्हेन इट कम्स टू द इंटरेस्ट ऑफ इंडिया, डू दे स्टैंड विद इंडिया, दैट इज अ क्वेश्चन।
अरविंद जी, डॉक्टर हेनरी किसिंगर, जिनसे मैं अधिक चीजों में मानता नहीं हूँ, लेकिन उनकी जो तुलना है वो सच है। पहले हम मानव हैं, उसके बाद हम कोई देश के निवासी हैं, उसके बाद हम कोई राष्ट्र के वासी हैं, उसके बाद हमारी ये मातृभाषा है, उसके बाद हमारी ये रिलीजन है, क्योंकि ये दिस इज द वर्ल्ड ऑर्डर। इसी तरह से देखेंगे जो भी US के प्रेसिडेंट बनेंगे। तो मैं जो भी है, इवन क्योंकि पहले जब आपका क्या होता है, आप किसके लीडर हैं, ये तो बहुत ही आपको क्लियरली आपको मानना होगा। और ये सब चीज इसीलिए US में इतनी प्राइमरीज में इतनी इंपॉर्टेंस दी जाती है, क्योंकि सबको एक उनकी पूरी चिरहरण होती है इन टर्म्स ऑफ देयर करियर। तुमने उस दिन उसने वहां क्यों ऐसा कहा, तुमने 7वीं कक्षा में वो एक लड़की से साथ तुमने कुछ आर्गुमेंट की थी इस डिबेट में, ये तुम्हारा गलत, 7वीं कक्षा में उसने किया था, ये भी निकाल कर बताएंगे आपको। तो ये प्राइमरी सिस्टम जो है यहाँ पर बहुत ही शेक डाउन करती है, जो इन सब चीजों से ऊपर निकल उठकर जो सामने प्रस्तुत होता है वही प्रेसिडेंशियल नॉमिनी बनता है। तो मेरा ये मानना है कि भारत की जो सभ्यता है, जो संस्कृति है, जो समाज सनातन धर्म सिखाती है आपको, ये इनके अंदर कूट कूट कर भरा हुआ है। अब देखिए विवेक रामस्वामी दो चार तमिल बातें भी बोल लेते हैं, वो पालगा टाइम राम है। तो आप देखिए इतने साल रहकर US में अभी भी अगर आप दो चार शब्द बोल सकते हैं तो आपको समझ आ रही है कितनी उनके अंदर वो जो सनातन था है उसके अंदर भरी है। लेकिन उससे क्या होगा, जब भी एक निर्णय का समय आएगा तब वो वसुधैव कुटुंबकम, यानी द वर्ल्ड, व्हाट इज गोइंग टू हेल्प द वर्ल्ड, इससे सोचेंगे, मेरा ये मानना है।
सही है
डॉक्टर गौर, आई विल सेकंड जो श्री अय्यर जी ने कहा कि जब भारतीय मूल का व्यक्ति कहीं पर अपने को स्थापित करता है या उसकी उसका नेतृत्व करता है, तो उसमें वो हमारे सनातन धर्म के हमारे जो मूल विचार हैं उनके बेसिस पे वो वहाँ पे काम करता है। तो हम उसको इतने नैरो से नहीं देखें कि वो भारत के लिए क्या उस समय करेगा, पर वो हमारी संस्कृति के पे अगर वो लॉयल है और उसके बारे में वो विचार बता सकता है लोगों को, तो वो विचार सारी दुनिया में फैलेंगे। और इस तरह से
चाहे वो विचार भारत के खिलाफ ही क्यों ना हो,
उस मोमेंट पे लग सकते हैं, पर एज लॉन्ग एज वो हमारे जो मूल विचार हैं उनसे बिल्कुल उन पे आधारित है, अगर उन पे आधारित है तो एक विश्व जो है वसुधैव कुटुंबकम, ये विश्व उस संस्कृति से चलेगा तो मेरे ख्याल से बेहतर जगह पहुंचेगा। क्योंकि आप अगर कोई भी व्यक्ति को अगर कोई दूसरा आदमी अपना नेता मानता है तो वो मानना चाहता है कि आप मेरे इंटरेस्ट को आगे बढ़ाओगे, आप दूसरे पक्ष से नहीं करोगे, उधर के लोग वो पक्ष करेंगे, पर दोनों तरफ के लोग अगर सनातन बेसिस पे चल रहे हैं और वही थॉट प्रोसेस उनका है तो एक ऑनेस्ट ब्रोकरिंग होगी, ये मेरा सोचना है। जो भी भारतीय मूल का व्यक्ति आएगा इसीलिए उस पर ट्रस्ट करना बहुत आसान है कि वो कभी हमारा रहकर दूसरे साइड की बात नहीं करेगा, ये मूल के बारे में नहीं कहा जा सकता। सॉरी,
मैं भी इसी राय का हूँ कि हमें सिर्फ इस पर संतोष होना चाहिए कि एक भारतीय बन गया है, परंतु वो हमारे पक्ष में है नहीं पक्ष में है ये हमें देखना नहीं चाहिए, जो उनकी हित में, क्योंकि वो वास्तव में अमेरिकन लोगों ने ही उसको चुना है, तो अमेरिकन लोगों ने चुना है तो वो अमेरिकन इंटरेस्ट के अनुसार करेगा, और यदि अमेरिकन इंटरेस्ट भारत के पक्ष में नहीं है तो वो कतई यानी हम अपेक्षा नहीं करनी चाहिए कि वो उस विरोध का वो मुकाबला करेंगे, वो तो वहाँ के जो आवश्यकता है जब वहाँ में जो चतुराई है वो उसको दिखाना पड़ेगा उसको, और हम उससे ये अपेक्षा बिल्कुल नहीं करनी चाहिए कि वो हमारी बात करेगा।
That is so. Then why are we so happy or elated about the Indian American background? हमें क्या मिलने वाला है? I mean, कौन रप होए हमें का हानि? ये हमारे ग्रंथों में कहा गया है कि अमेरिका में जो बाइडेन होते हैं, कमला हैरिस होती है, कोई विवेक रामस्वामी होते हैं या कोई राधा कृष्ण होता है, कोई रो खन्ना होता है, हमें उससे क्या फायदा? अगर कोई भी भारत मूल का नागरिक भारत का पक्ष नहीं ले रहा, हमें तो अपने दृष्टिकोण से देखना चाहिए।
नहीं, इतनी तसल्ली है कि वो भारतीय का जो क्या कहें उसकी जो उसकी जो कैपेबिलिटी है वो है, वो दिखाई पड़ रहा है, इसी से संतुष्ट रहना चाहिए कि भारतीय देखो दूसरे पाकिस्तान से कोई नहीं हुआ, ये एक्स वाई जेड देशों से कोई नहीं हुआ, भारतीय हुआ है, ये बस ये काफी है। और अमेरिका का मुकाबला करने के लिए हमारे देश में हम क्या 1 बिलियन 400 मिलियन पीपल है, तो हमें उस पर निर्भर करना चाहिए।
एक छोटी सी
मिसाल दे दूं,
एक छोटी सी बात अरविंद जी, ये है कि भारतीय मूल का मतलब ये है कि भारतीय विचारधारा पे उसके सारा निर्णय होगा, जो संस्कृति हमारी है उसके तरफ से वो काम करेगा, तो उस तरह से हमारी विचारधारा पूरे विश्व में फैलेगी, ये संतोष हमें होना चाहिए और इस पे गर्व भी होना चाहिए।
Yeah, I just have one last question. Sri, you wanted to say something, go finish it and then we can...
Yeah, just one line.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dr. Arvind ji, Pakistan mein, Pakistan ki abadi lagbhag 28 crore hai. उसमें माना जाता है 1 से 2 करोड़ अल्पसंख्यक नागरिक हैं। क्या आज तक इस 75 साल में किसी ने उनकी आवाज उठाई, किसी ने उनकी आवाज सुनी? तो क्या हो रहा है? इसकी जो लीडरशिप है, इस कंट्री की जो लीडरशिप है, ये हमेशा जो मैंने कहा था ना ऑर्डर, मैं पहले इंसान हूँ, उसके बाद मैं किसी देश का नागरिक हूँ, उसके बाद बहुत 8 स्टेप्स के बाद आता है मैं इस्लाम मेरी रिलीजन है। तो ये लोग ये सब निकाल कर ऊपर जाकर उसको बिठाते हैं, उसमें भी सुन्नी मेरा रिलीजन है, मैं अहमदियास को मैं डिस्क्रिमिनेट करता हूँ, इससे करता हूँ उससे। तो ये जो है ये नहीं आएगा जब कोई सनातनी चिंतन करता है, वो पहले मानवता के बारे में सोचता है, अपने बारे में, अपने मजहब के बारे में नहीं सोचेगा। आई होप आई एक्सप्लेन दिस टू यू सर।
सो श्री, वी जस्ट हैव फ्यू मोर मिनट्स टू गो नाउ, दिस इज अ क्वेश्चन फॉर यू एंड डॉक्टर गौर। ओके, with the SB 403 getting cancelled, I think the Democrat, at least Gavin Newsom, not only that, he also, I think, vetoed the other bill about the parental rights, about, you know, for gender change and things like that. Do you think this quote-unquote woke agenda has driven more Indian Americans towards the Republican Party or not?
I'll let Dr. Gore go first.
Okay. I think there is a group among Indian, and I don't want to put one or the other, pit against one over the other, but there's a group of Indian Americans who subscribe to the philosophy where issues which are not so good for us, like casteism and all that, are propagated in a way which I politely say is not favorable for Indian society or as an Indian culture's depiction. And there is a group which is also on the other side, which believes in a commonality and universality. So I do believe that that kind of thinking is putting a lot of Indians to be on the Republican side. So, but I am not here to counter one over the other. Everyone is free to believe their ideas. All we have to do is, in a scholarly way, counter their arguments and show that where we are may be the right side. And I'm, all of us are very happy that the governor vetoed this bill.
Three, your thoughts, and I have one more thought.
Yes,
and
Ramesh, in California, it's not even Hindus, 70% in favor of Democrats. The population is 70% Democrat. Republicans don't even stand a chance. Most of the time, the primaries are now between Democrats. I mean, the final, like, for example, for the post of governor, you might see that one Democrat is opposing another Democrat. Why? Because we have an interesting system of selecting the top two finishers. The primaries are common. So the top two finishers are the ones who will duke it out for the top post. This is California law. As far as the needle being moved, countrywide in 2020, the needle did move. 30% Indian Americans voted Republican. And it is my belief that it might move even more in case of California, because suddenly the Hindu Americans in California, got faced with the sudden prospect that their children would be branded as racist when they have not even taught them anything about racism, anything about caste. If you talk to any parent, Ramesh, you were a parent, I was a parent myself. From the time the kid turns 3 years old or 5 years old, we have mapped out the next 15 years for the child. You will do this, you will do this, you will do this, you will go to this school, and on, so on and so forth. And in this, there is no room for any kind of discrimination. You are telling the child, you are special. Think of yourself as special. See how you can excel. This is how we have taught our children. The one thing that we did not do, which is what is coming to bite us now, is what is great about Sanatana Dharma. This part has been left open. I mean, people may learn some Indian arts, Bharatanatyam or music or tabla or something.
Core culture like that. Values, that's what you're talking about.
Core culture, yeah, that core culture value. Why am I a Sanatani? This question has not been answered by the parents. It's the parents' fault. And I'm included. I blame myself also in this. So we have to wait and see, Ramesh. I think there is a needle move. And because I'm just seeing so much feedback when I see people on the streets and things like that. But it is just work started. I need a lot more help from many like-minded folks to grow this message, to become even more, show people what exactly is the truth.
Dr. Swami, one last question to you.
Yes.
What is the stake for Israel going forward? I think they are going to go all on offensive. And what should India's position be? and then we can conclude our question.
I'll take the second one first.
Okay.
There's no country which has helped us in crucial issues, particularly in terms of intelligence, in terms of weapons, in terms of spare parts and so on, than Israel. And there is no cultural conflict between the Israelis and Indians.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And so, and whatever Jews lived in India, you know, they have all been appreciated by the people because of the services they've rendered. So Israel and India being not for each other would be, in my opinion, a disaster and should not be tolerated. And Israel is a target for a much larger grouping than simply Muslim, Sunni Muslims. What I would say will come out in, ultimately in this is there are at least 3-4 important nations which have planned this thing and have got it. And therefore, the Israeli intelligence also wasn't looking at them. It was looking at basically the Hamas, and the Hamas was not doing the brain work for this activity.
Okay, Doctor, and now, as some of the viewers might not know, in fact, Israel established its first quote-unquote embassy in Dr. Swami's house, and the first visa yes. was issued, and yes. from Dr. Swami's house, not another building.
And they hoisted the flag on government accommodation. Yes.
Arvind ji, please conclude.
Now, I have one more question to the panelists.
Arvind ji.
I have to leave now. Arvind ji, I'm so sorry. Okay, I have to beg your forgiveness.
Okay.
It was wonderful being part of this panel discussion. And we will talk to you again next time. Namaskar.
Thank you, Shreya. Thank you for being with us.
All right, Arvind.
The question then I can ask Dr. Swami and Dr. Gaur. The question is, we have had for more than 1 year the Ukraine-Russian conflict, NATO on one side and China on the other side, and there's so many countries taking a stand. India, of course, decided to be nirgut. India did not take a stand on Ukraine-Russia war. But if it happens between Philistine Palestine, as they call it in English, Hindi mein Philistine kehte hain. So Palestine and Israel conflict, if in, of course, we have had Indian prime ministers taking open side with Palestine also. You know, Yasser Arafat was a great friend of Mrs. Indira Gandhi at one point in time. And, you know, Yasser Arafat even called Mrs. Gandhi his sister. I mean, that's a different story altogether. But for a few years now, we have had a clear stand on Israeli issues. So I have not seen in the last 2 days whether Indian government has taken an official stand or not. But my question to Dr. Swami and Dr. Gaur is that whether this added conflict between Palestine and Israel, where several countries, including America, has taken a stand. And as you say, China has been instrumental in this attack. So will it lead to World War III, or will it increase the chances of World War III?
World War III is out of the question, because it would mean nuclear war. It will automatically degenerate into that. That I don't think that I have not seen anybody articulating this. Now, as far as India is concerned, with the earlier point you were making about, there was a ideological political commitment that we must win the Muslim vote. And the only way to win the Muslim vote is to get sabash from, or you know, a pat on the back from Muslims abroad. And that, by the way, didn't include Iran. Mrs. Gandhi never wanted to have anything to do with Iran, because it's a Shia thing, and the Sunnis were dead against the Shias. So these, as far as we are concerned, now the growing consciousness of Hindus to Sanatana Dharma and so on, we have to be on the side of the Israelis, because the side which is against Israel is never going to be for you.
Correct.
Arvindji can conclude. About,
okay. This is more than an hour now. But as you said, these two are the contemporary issues which everybody is concerned about. And even the first question that I have been raising about Indian-American participation, I have been thinking from the Indian angle. Indian perspective for me is more important than the geographic background of the candidate in the U.S. election. I mean, Dr. Gaurd did say, and of course, he echoed the feelings of Shri Iyer when he says ki Sanatan Dharma is more important or Bichar Dhara is more important. No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe I have a right to differ. We have had Udayanidhi Stalin, he's also Indian. Swami Prasad Maurya is also Indian. I mean, being Indian is no guarantee that he will carry the Sanatan Vichar Dhara. That is for sure. So therefore, irrespective of whether we have somebody from Republican side, including Kamala Harris, if something happens to Joe Biden, or if we have in 2024, if we have somebody who is from Indian side, it doesn't really matter whether the origin is Indian. But if he's not in favor of India, for me, it is of no use. Thank you very much, Dr. Gaurd, for being with us. Thank you, Dr. Swami, for being with us. I already thanked before departure to Shri Iyer. It was a great contribution. And this, both these topics, Israel as well as the Indian-American in the U.S. election, it's both important for us. We are looking forward to it. And of course, for the second issue, the government of India must take a very clear stand and side with Israel. It has been the stand of Indian government for some time, but we do not know whether the appeasement to Muslims in the elections, because the elections are coming in Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh, and other places, Telangana, where Muslims also have a sizable vote bank. So if in the interest of the vote bank, Modi government does not take a very clear stand on the Muslim, because we have seen the Indian Muslims by and large, and Dr. Swami will bear me out, by and large, Indian Muslims are not in favor of Israel. And also, by and large, they're not in favor of America. That's a different issue. But anyway, so thank you very much for being with us. Thanks, Ramesh Swami, for being with us. Today, Jagdish could not join because of the internet speed. Thanks the technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Swaminathan, Tejas Navalgul, Vishal Mehta, Najesh Nair. Next Sunday, we'll be meeting at 8 p.m. Indian Standard Time with a new topic with Dr. Subramanian Swami and perhaps a new speaker. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.